Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and it's been a big week of drafting this week. Hopefully everyone's completed their drafts by now because we are one sleep away from the footy starting and our fantasy leagues kicking off. And to help me do the talk about our captains and late week pickups is Stevie Fizz. Welcome mate, I'm actually glad you're still alive because we had our League of Record draft on Saturday afternoon slash night and it's fair to say you made a few risky picks halfway through that draft.
Jono, I'm not the Messiah, but I am a very naughty boy because I did break two of the golden draft rules.
Rocking up 10 cans deep already, was it?
No, I wasn't rocking up 10 cans deep, but yeah, the old don't drink and draft, I was pacing with rounds. So when we had our break after 11 rounds, I was pretty refreshed.
You were.
With 11 cans down. And then made the classic mistake of drafting to trade.
Yes. How many ruckmen did you end up picking?
I picked three.
The quality ruckman, though.
Yeah, well, Steph Martin got through to round 9, and then
Sauce Jacobs at round 12 or 13.
Sauce Jacobs in round 12. I couldn't pass it up. And then I realized, oh, yeah, no one in our league actually trades ruckman because no one values them at all.
No.
So... The first 11 rounds were great.
From what you remember.
Then it just hit me, and I somehow wound up with, like, Collar Jazzy and...
Stone Cold music, just glass shattering every 5 seconds.
There was glass shattering every 5 seconds. A lot of Here Comes the Money.
Yes.
And a lot of risky picks.
Very risky
I have
picks.
Since dropped one of those Ruckman.
Oh, right. Oh, you're looking to check him out in the pool.
Cruises out.
And fair enough.
Parishes in.
And... this bloke, he was out in the Himalayas looking for a cure for glandular fever last week, but he's back, hopefully well-fed on salmon and pinot noir. Welcome to you, Statesman.
Yes, good evening, gents. And I will say I didn't find any cure. I'm actually still trying to discover a cure for a hangover. Let's say the retreat was magnificent, a lot achieved, including a few headaches.
Very good, very good. A bit of news coming out this week. Jordan Ngoi didn't hit his hand, break his hand playing with his dogs. It turns out he decided to get to
no,
a...
No.
Yeah, oh yeah. A football player lying to his club, gets into a fight. So not good for Ngoi there because a lot of people would have drafted him.
Yes.
Also... more bad news for Daniel Wells owners. Looks like he's going to miss the first 3 weeks of the season. And Brett Delidio is looking at 4 to 6 weeks now. So
Allegedly,
but a big wait and see there. If you'd like to follow us on the social media, you can do that by following us at The Draft Doctors, or you can follow The Statesman, who is The Statesman 33. Check us out on Facebook, hit the search button there, type in The Draft Doctors, or check out the website where we are, thedraftdoctors.com.au. But round one is upon us. We're talking captains and late week pickups, and a bit of trade talk too, coming up into round one. But we're going to start off with our captain's lounge. And when we do talk about our captains, they're your not-so-obvious captains. We know if you've got Danger, you're going to captain Danger, Fife, et cetera, et cetera. But these are the next tier down, and to kick us off is Steve.
Yeah, well, I feel that's kind of a bad intro for my first captain, who is Adam Treloar.
Okay.
Who I'm sure he is, most captain. But anyway, against the Bulldogs last year, he pumped out a couple of pretty massive games. Dream Team scores of 119, 128, Supercoach 103 and 148. Last six against the Dogs, the lowest Supercoach score is 96 with 5 tons. Dogs aren't really a tagging side, Jono.
They are not.
So I certainly, under Luke Beveridge, so I certainly think Treloar is a pretty nice captain option if you got him.
And I would love to have him too.
Yeah, my next captain option is Dylan Scheel, who's playing Adelaide a little bit. This is a little bit different. The last two times he's played Adelaide, pumped out at least 113 in Supercoach and at least 113 in Dream Team, sorry, and at least 118 in Supercoach. And the last time he did that, he did it in 71% time on ground. Now, I think there's a chance he gets a little bit more with the Coniglio out and
Deledio,
Whitfield. Yeah, so there's a bit of time on ground there to be had, I think. And also on the Adelaide side of the ball, we know Scott Thompson's out. We don't know about Rory Sloan yet. So I think there's certainly the potential for him to score very well again.
Yeah.
A couple of smokier picks, if you will. Toddy Goldstein playing West Coast, who are sans a ruckman at this point in time. They're the underdogs in the match, which is a little bit risky, I guess you could say. But when you're going up against... And we don't know who else is named in the team. Like, if Bruce is named, I probably wouldn't make this captain's pick. But if it's Goldstein, basically on his own with spells from maybe a door, and he's going up against Drew Petrie,
Vardy,
who are all sort of getting smacked, who sort of got beat up pretty solidly in the JLT. I think that's a pretty handy and maybe a little bit savvy pick.
Yeah.
And also my last smoky is Brody Grundy. I was sort of struggling to find the not-so-obvious captains. But Brody Grundy, he's playing the Western Bulldogs. They're obviously underdogs as well. Western Bulldogs were a pretty big third-man-up team last year. But in the last game of the second time the Collingwood played the Bulldogs, Grundy did score 119 Dream Team and 107 Supercoach with 47 hitouts.
Yeah, because the Doggies ain't got no recognised ruckman.
The Doggies ain't got no recognised ruckman, so I certainly think he's a smoky pick. I'd check the weather radar before making that one.
Friday night, the MCG.
Yeah, I'd check the radar because his value is going to come in taking some nice marks down the line. Although he does, we know he likes laying a tackle, so...
Yeah, and if it's a bit wet, it could suit him.
Well, I guess so. Anyway, that's a bit of a smoky pick, but I've created a new... definition for a captain.
Ooh.
And I'm calling it the don't argue. Okay. This is a player I'm not captaining.
I like it already.
And that's Dustin Martin.
Renowned round one non-scorer. Is that the reason?
Yeah. Poor record. Poor scoring history against Carlton. Poor round one scoring history. I've got Dustin. And it kind of sucks because you can loophole him in a loopholing league.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got that option, maybe you still go that route. But I'm... I've actually got him in our keeper league, and I'm not even loopholing him.
Wow.
So,
big move there. I've got my captains here. I'm going to start off with this bloke. It's Marcus Bontempelli from the Bulldogs. The last couple of times, he's only played the Pies twice, actually, and he averages 137 in both formats. Now, it's also good that Levi Greenwood is not playing because he has tagged him and has effective scores, so he ain't going to be there. Don't know who the Pies going to use to tag this year with Levi out. So
Bont's going to... Maybe Crispy Bacon.
Crispy Bacon, maybe. But Bont's going to be too strong for him anyway. And watch him kick away to a great start to the year and hopefully a Brownlow medal as well. The next guy I'm going to talk about is Nick Riewoldt. This guy loves playing Melbourne. He's got a career average of 112 in Supercoach and 106 in Dream Team. But in his last five matches against the D's, he's averaged 121 in Supercoach and 117 in Dream Team.
Sweet Jesus.
So if you've got Nick Riewoldt, throw the C on him, because he is just going to tear it up against the D's. Also, both known to be open slather types of games with no real defence play to them. The next guy I'm going to talk about is Big Maxi Gorn for the D's. In Supercoach, he's averaged 111 and only missed the ton once in four games against the Saints. But in Dream Team, he's a little bit iffier, where he only averages 86 Dream Team and only tunned up once in those four games. So if you're playing Supercoach, roll him out. Dream Team, bit more caution there for Gorn.
I think Hickey has a decent record against him, doesn't he?
He does have a decent record against Gorn, so it'll be interesting to see that matchup. My fourth captain is the captain of Geelong, Joel Selwood, averaging 108 in Dream Team in his last five matches, and that includes a 38.
My goodness.
Yeah. And in Supercoach, he's rolling out in a 111 average in his last five matches, which includes a 54. So
one of those things is not like the others.
Exactly right. So get on Joel Selwood this week. Who's that? Fremantle, I think, this week.
I believe it's your captain.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Bloody no.
It is Freo. And I've gone Steve's route with a bit of a captain risky as well. It's Matty Crouch from the Adelaide Crows. We know there's going to be no Scott Thompson, and as Steve said, Rory Sloane's a 50-50 chance, so he'll be leading that midfield, you would think. He averages 99 in Dream Team and 96 Super Coach in the two matches he's played, averaging 110 with 110 and an 88 in Dream Team, 104 and 88 Super Coach.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Sloane, because remember last year when he was it last year or the year before when he broke his face?
2 years ago.
And then broke his face again.
Yeah, maybe so. Fan of the Opera type mask.
But his face is just going to be like he just ate like 12 lemons at the end, just caved in on itself.
It just reminds me of that Simpsons.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Statesman, who have you got as your captains, mate?
Yeah, it's reasonably obvious, the first one, but I couldn't cover my six clubs without mentioning Tommy Rockcliffe as the first ruckman. He's turned up four of his last five games against the Gold Coast. The only one he missed out on was when he was knocked out in the first minute of the game. This does include a score of 190. He will not get tagged and finds it with ease. That is an easy captain choice if you have him. Next off is Aaron Hall. Scored 107 against Brisbane in round 16 last year, but that included 20 minutes off with a concussion test rule. So that's 107, just over three quarters. JLT form outstanding with 137 points per 100 minutes. Aaron Hall is a lock if you've got him this week. Also have Luke Parker, who scored 128 against Port Adelaide the last time they met and was the best of the big three during the JLT, and as he needed the game time. He's ready to fire. In fantasy terms, he is your man out of those big three. Kennedy starts slow and Dan Hand gets the tag. So Luke Parker, a great option. One from left field is JJK. West Coast could have a field day against the weakened Kangaroos. Scored a ton the last time he played, but he only kicked four goals for that day, gents. So there is a great option that he could go big after a very strong JLT series. Last but not least is Stephen Hill. Last two games against Geelong, 123 and 124. And they have a history of tagging Fife and Neil, not Stephen Hill, which normally comes as the option from the other clubs. Stephen has been playing as an inside mid during the JLT and was the Dockers' best scorer for the JLT series. So I reckon that Stephen Hill might be a smoky captain pick for this round.
Love it. Love Stephen Hill as a player. So if you got him, lock him in, people.
I think I got him after my 13th can.
That was about the 14th or 15th round, I think.
Something like that.
Thank you for that, Statesman. If you want to follow us subscribe to us and listen to this pod, you can do that by checking us out on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. And if you've got a few minutes, you can do that by just leaving us a review, hit the 5-star like button. We really appreciate it. We do read them out on the air, so it takes a couple of minutes, helps us, and it's good for you.
Don't we have a review this week?
We do have a review. It comes from...
Seamless.
Very seamless. And if you can hear that background noise, that is more rain.
Mm.
This comes from the Cripple Brewer. Most of the other podcasts treat draft formats like Reece Palmer or Zach Dawson. They are brought up only because they are part of the final team / product. The draft doctors embrace the draft formats like Collingwood supporters embrace the slimmest chance of success. Lop-lop eating a donut. With maximum enthusiasm, Crockett and Fizz do a great job presenting the pod, and Statesman one day may reach their lofty heights if he stops advertising the obvious man crush he has for Zach Dawson.
This is a smart listener.
In all seriousness, though, it's a great listen and should be part of any drafter's podcast rotation.
Well, we certainly appreciate that, Jono.
That is a great review. Love it. Probably, very accurate.
Probably going up on the wall, that review.
We're going to frame it. It's going in the Hall of Fame. You're in. But moving on now to our late week pickup. So if you're still undecided as who to pick up, we're just going to run through five or six blokes that you may be thinking about. And we've got some info on them here. And to do that, we're going to talk about You'll hear the numbers drafted, percentage owned, and drafted. We're getting these off the Ultimate Footy website. And to do that, kicking off is Steve.
Yeah, maybe you got Jordan Ngoi and Levi Greenwood.
Ouch.
That wouldn't be great. Okay, we're going to kick it off with a defender from Port Adelaide, Darcy Byrne Jones, owned in only 19% of teams. Defenders traditionally actually score pretty well against Sydney, guys. They don't know how to hold the ball in there. So he's certainly got... He didn't have a good score against them last year, I understand that. But with Pittard out, yep. I certainly like him as a pretty handy option. If you didn't want to go him, Riley Bonner is also an option. But I like the seasoned efforts of Darcy Byrne-Jones.
Yeah, and had a pretty good JLT too.
Had an okay JLT. My second one, no surprises here. It is the man himself. It is Reece Palmer. Owned in only 27% of teams, listed as a forward, he has been scoring quite well in the JLT with forward time, midfield time, doing it all. Outscored Mark Murphy in the last game, no worries. Playing against Richmond, I expect him to score 80+. If this is a scrappy game in poor conditions, which it looks
like it's
expected to be, he's a big body. He'll find his way to score 80 points.
And that'll be 4 handballs, 26 handballs, 4 kicks.
No, it's going to be... Well, I hope it's 10 tackles.
And a heap of tackles, maybe a few goals.
So I think he's certainly a great option just for the week.
And I think that it shouldn't be too much of a challenge of him trying to outscore his NEFL form with his VFL form.
That's just rough. That's just rough. But if he gets... Look, we don't know the teams. If he gets a game, I certainly have no qualms starting him if I needed a forward.
He's your F1, isn't he?
Yeah. I picked up Joe Danaher off the waivers today.
Nice.
You know who he's got in rounds 2 and 3?
Brisbane and someone...
Carlton. Anyway, my next pick is Trent Dumont. Now, owned at 66%. It's a little bit higher than I would usually like. But on the Ultimate Footy, we know you keep... People can hang on to a lot of players. But he's a midfielder from Kangaroos. Really like him this week with Cunnington out. I expect him to get all the time in the world in the midfield. I expect high 80s. He'll get his 20 touches. He'll lay his 6 tackles. And even though it looks like the Kangaroo... I mean, the Kangaroos are the big underdogs in that match. I would expect him to score pretty handily as someone you're getting for free. My next pick is Sam Kerridge. Also 66%. Also a midfielder. Again, he's going to get that midfield time in Carlton's team. He's certainly got a role in that squad. He scored pretty handily over the JLT, and he scored well in this match last year in round 1, if people remember.
Yeah, until he got thrown as a tagger and just completely destroyed his fantasy scoring.
Well, look,
which I don't think he will tag.
If it's going to be slippery conditions, again, I like the sort of guy who's going to be in there getting his hands dirty, which Sam Kerridge can do.
Yep.
And my last pick is a real dart throw. My teams aren't looking too flash. The teams I'm covering aren't looking too flash this week. It's Ryan Clark, midfield forward. He's only owned in 22% of teams. I expect him to also get midfield rotations, and I think he's a pretty handy lottery ticket anyway. He's certainly one of the bookies' favourites for the Rising Star. But it's his second season. I expect him to be able to get some midfield rotations as well as potentially push forward. I expect this game to be pretty high scoring. So I certainly like that as an option. I think he's actually pretty good. That third JLT wasn't too bad, and he certainly got some run.
Yeah, yep, pretty good there. The blokes I'm going to talk about, I'm going to start off with Tim Membry from St Kilda. Now, as we mentioned before, he's 63% drafted in your Ultimate Footy Leagues there. This is a guy, as I simply said before, it's a pretty open slather game between Melbourne and St Kilda. He's got 91 average against Melbourne, believe it or not, going 116 and 98 before. So he's going to be there in your leagues, especially your shallower leagues. So could be a good stream as an F5.
There's so many games under the dome early on. I don't mind grabbing some Kilda players.
Yeah, because they do play it quite well. The next guy I'm going to talk about is Andrew Mackie. He has been drafted by 94% of the team, so it's quite a lot.
How the hell are you going to find a 94% player then?
I didn't think anyone was going to pick up Andrew Mackey, so I was surprised why it was 94%. But they're playing Fremantle. That ball's going to get hacked inside 50. And his last five scores against Freo are 82, 72, 101, 89, and 115.
This is a terrible call. It's just 6% of leagues can grab him.
Well, I looked at him before I did the actual ownership, which...
And you left it in?
Yeah, I left it in. I left it in.
Data rules, mate. Data rules.
And the next guy, well, you're not going to like my next pick, Mitch Robinson. drafted by 81% of leagues. Yeah, this is a big body midfielder, tackling machine, averages 98 against the Gold Coast Suns. So playing for the Who Cares Cup up there in Queensland, not a bad little pick if you're looking for a seventh midfielder to stream. And the next guy is Chris Maston from the West Coast Eagles. Yes, Steve?
I was just moving forward.
Oh, sounded like you were going to say something. 71% owned and drafted. You might get sucked into his JLT form, but his last two scores against the Roos are 113 and 93 Supercoach points. So not a bad little scorer there if you're looking for a seventh midfielder, again, against a depleted North Melbourne.
I like that one. And people can actually get him.
Yeah. Oh, if you want to talk about numbers, Steve, this last guy, Sam Lloyd from Richmond. A bit of a goal sneak, 11% owned, 8% drafted. So there's a really low hanging fruit that you're going to get there. Bit of a goal sneak, 92 and 70 in his last couple of games against the Blues. So if it's a bit scrappy, the ball's on the deck, you can just grab it out of the pack and put him through. Might be able to kick three or four goals in a tight contest.
Yeah, I looked at Lloyd because he's one of my teams.
Yeah.
But I was concerned. Are you concerned about the weather? I mean,
this was all written before the weather was come up. So, again, just watch out for the weather over the weekend. On to you, Statesman.
Thank you very much. A message to Cripple Brewer. Listen to this. This is very lofty heights because I'll be giving you some waiver wire tips of people that you can actually pick up. And I'm going to start with Lewis Taylor, drafted by only 23% of leagues. He averaged 74 in his second season. Yes, he did have the Blues last year, but form in the JLT has brought him back into the frame. 87 points per 100 minutes. Lewis Taylor will average between the 75 and 80 this year and is worthwhile being a F4 or F5. Sean McKernan. Now, we should never mention this man's name, but what are the options in the ruck for Essendon? And his score in the JLT 4 of 114 playing as the sole ruckman was quite impressive. So seeing he's going to be the number one ruckman and he's elevated from the rookie list to complete that role, even though he's only listed as a forward, he's going to be a great F3 for probably the first month of the season. So worthwhile picking up and covering DeGoey while he's out recovering. For being upset for missing his own draft. And he was only drafted in 13% of leagues, Sean McKernan. The next one, I will say, is more based on what could potentially happen. This is Harley Balick. He's drafted in 24% of leagues. He could be Ballantyne's replacement. And just to show the opportunity is rising for him. He gathered 30 possessions in the Waffle game last weekend. He was a ball magnet as a junior, was highly rated. Most people were surprised that he wasn't picked up as a first rounder. He went early in the second round to Fremantle. So look out for Harley. If he gets his shot, he's going to rack him up. The next one is Peter Wright, drafted in 21% of leagues. Key forward on the rise. He scored 131 last year against Brisbane with a 5-goal haul. And yes, Brisbane is his round one opponent. Last but not least, and this is quite surprising, Dom Sheed, only drafted in 56% of leagues. Although I like him more as a future pick and more for a keeper, this man can find the ball. So if he is involved in midfield rotations, he will score heavily. He had a 10-point drop last year due to injuries and will have some big games this year. So he's perfect to sit on your midfield bench, find the right matchup, one or two injuries, or Sam Mitchell doesn't travel to all those games interstate. Throw Dom Sheed in and he'll score you between the 80 and the ton.
Nice. Like it. Like the McKernan pick. Some good ruck opponents too. Brisbane will be able to compete against... McAvoy, and then Steph,
Cruiser.
And Cruiser. I mean, they're not exactly a dominant ruckman, are they?
No.
Dominant tap ruckman, I should say.
Yeah. And I like the 2 meter Pete one because I grabbed him off the waiver wire now. Listener League. Cheers. Moving on now, we're going to do a bit of trade talk. We have our listeners bring in some questions of possible trade scenarios that they're facing, and we're just going to have a chat about that and dissect it to see if we can maybe come up with a better solution or agree or disagree if it's a fair trade. But
I also had an offer straight after the keeper draft, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but the draft offer, seeing the Slack Nags had selected Devon Smith at number 27. obviously, my team being lunch meat is greater than pizza. Obviously, he was indicated that I'll basically give anything for Devon Smith, which is sort of semi-true. But he packaged up Suckling. So Devon Smith and Suckling. And what he wanted off me was Sam Doherty, and Wright, the Carlton
Matthew
forward.
Wright.
Matthew Wright. So I looked at and went, well, pick number 13 was Sam Doherty, number one defender, and my number one defender by a long way. I wouldn't think Matt Suckling is a due replacement for him, especially when we're talking keeper league. They're a fair way off their mark. I think one was at pick 166 and one was pick 13. And then you match up Wright and Devon Smith. So I politely declined and said, yes, I like Devon Smith, but the reality is there's only one tier one player in there, and that's Sam Doherty.
Yeah, that makes absolute perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you thought of a counter offer for that, or you're just not too worried about at the moment?
I looked through his list and then looked through my list. I don't think he's got anything that I want that he would be fair to give away.
Maybe just looking for... maybe that's one of those classic situations where you know a league mate is enamoured with a player and you try to get him to pay overs.
His strategy was fine. I looked at a couple of things. He's got KK as his number one defender. So I looked at if we swap Doherty, KK for Devon for Wright... And that probably matches up even, but I actually knew that he would respond saying no thanks.
Yeah, enough. At least it's a starting point, I guess.
Yeah, until they get the dialogue.
They start conversations, and the great thing about his trade offer is that he put a description below. He was going, I want my boy, you want your boy. Sure. How about looking at the balance of it? No, sure. That's fantastic because it's a great way. And, of course, I didn't respond saying no, go away. I gave an explanation of what the values were, and I was basically pointing out that I would lose effectively 20 points a game, and that's not what you want to do.
No, exactly right. And just before we went on air today, I had a Twitter message from the Bearded Clam himself. He's in our keeper league. I picked up Clayton Oliver, and the message was, I'm pretty keen on Clayton Oliver, so... what's it going to take to get it done? And I've only had a quick look at it, but I do like Seb Ross and Rory Atkins to make that deal done, but I'll have to have a chat with him and see what we can come to.
Yeah, I mean, Clayton Oliver in a keeper is obviously a big prized asset, but Seb Ross is no slouch either, I guess.
No, and he knows I like Rory Atkins as well, so hopefully he can throw that in as a bit of steak noise.
Hintity hint hint.
Exactly.
We will see if we can challenge in between the three of us, whether that be the listener league, sorry, Steve, or the keeper league, that we actually find a way to actually do a live trade. So let's find a way that we can express a little bit of interest, but then negotiate live. It'd be absolutely fantastic if we could do that.
How do you feel about Jordan Ngoi, mate? The Statesman's
no.
A hard taskmaster.
3 weeks. It's only 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's only 3 weeks.
No.
Six. He's injured for 3 weeks first.
Oh, and then it's on top, was it? Okay.
Yeah. That's a keeper. What's 6 weeks in a keeper? He could be a 10-year Brownlow medalist.
You never know. And any trades for you, Steve?
No. No, I'm sticking. Look, I generally draft a team I'm pretty happy with, and... In our league of record, John, I did make two waivers this morning.
Yep.
Because I was just a little bit unhappy with my lottery tickets at the end. But I unless something happens to someone's team, like there's a training mishap and someone's out for 10 weeks, that maybe I can do a 2-for-1. I generally like to see how the values play out over the first few weeks, because I think you can get some good deals done. Mm-hmm. But if I was high on a player and I drafted him, then I've got to see how it plays out at least.
Yeah. So say, for instance, at Dyson Heppel, you think you can make a move on him depending on how he's performing a few weeks into the season?
Oh, look, yeah, something like that. Something like that. Yeah. I guess, and, you know, like I said, I ended up grabbing Sam Jacobs as a second ruckman. So I really need to see how it plays out with other people's rucks. I mean, if Tom Hickey doesn't work out over the first couple of weeks, or someone gets injured like Sanderlands, then I'll certainly be able to reap some value.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, moving on now to our questions part of the show. A few questions this week, so getting right into it, and starting off from Twitter, we got @wingers_i. He says, is Nick Riewoldt's average distorted by his 200? What do you expect him to average before the buys? Does that put him overs?
I hate how people say Nick Riewoldt's 200 distorts his value. Does Heath Shaw's 200 distort his value?
Patrick Dangerfield's? Tom Rockliffe's?
Like, yes, it does, to a degree, but it also shows he's got a monster ceiling. But we also forget that he had a game where he came off at half time. We forget the first round where he played as a key forward, and we forget the game, you know, another game where he got the knock and he didn't reappear after halfway through the second, the third quarter. So if we want to pick and choose the games we keep in and take out, then that's fine. You can do that. But if he's basically had two games in one, but he's missed a game in another situation, well, it kind of balances out. And realistically, 100 points over a season is 5 a game.
Yeah.
I like that.
Can we stop talking about Nick Riewoldt's 200?
No.
No, that's all the questions are this week about Nick Riewoldt's 200.
It's actually a question we're keeping on rotation.
And I will point out to our new listeners that I made it through to the grand final of the Listeners League with no doubt the best list in the competition. And unfortunately, one of my players got injured and was out for 13, while we got Big Cox, took home the 200 points and took home the premiership.
Tears of saltiness yet again.
Jesus. He comes back. Well, he has just been to the Himalayas.
That's true.
He's come back with a fresh batch of Himalayan pink salt and boom, just straight out of the gate.
And I think it's part of my losing contract that I need to mention. We've got Big Cox on a weekly basis.
He's been laying low. Shaky
just
Chan.
Doing his studying, waiting for the round one coming up.
He's been pretty quiet, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's just getting some nice memes together, I think. Next question off Twitter was @Kingham_Heath. What's the deal with Tom Langdon? Sorry, I thought that was Seinfeld. Played VFL recently and wondering if he is still best 22. No talk about him, though.
Tom Langdon's been injured for the best part of 12 months. He's had a recent setback as well. They just updated that on the Collingwood website. He won't be doing anything for at least 20 days, allegedly. So, I like Tom Langdon. The problem is that Tom Langdon does best what Jeremy Howe has since done best. Jeremy Howe came across to Collingwood to play forward, and once Langdon went down, they shifted Howe back, and he's obviously in career best form playing across half back there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Langdon when he comes back, because they've had some young guys come through across the half back line. We certainly know he's a quality. He showed a lot of quality in his first couple of years at Collingwood, so
still very young too.
It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with him when he gets fit, but I certainly don't think he's coming back into the team for 10 weeks.
Yeah, so after the buys, you'd imagine.
Well, if he does, yeah.
If at all, depends on how Collingwood goes, I would imagine. Our next question is from @DeanSimps99. In Ultimate Footy, who would you take? Jared Blair, Jeremy Cameron, or Jack Darling?
None of the above. If I had to, probably Jack Darling. And look, this is going back. I work on a theory that we pump players up, we think they're going to have a breakout, and we seem to put a line through and scrub them out. Tommy Sheridan, Yo-Yo are two classic examples of that. And probably KK's entered into that space after last year's performance. Jack Darling, through the national under-18 national championship, had a game during the championships where he scored over 200. That's massive scoring potential. So the bottom line, he's probably been disappointing over the last 2 or 3 years. He was having a slow build and he was going upscale. And I would say 2 years ago, I was drafting him regularly. He's probably dropped off the radar, but he has that potential. So if he has that potential, then I think you've got to back it in. Jeremy Cameron, I think, is always going to be one of those players where he's a quality player. He's very efficient when he gets there, hence probably being more of a super coach player. But he's not a big accumulator. He's not going to get you 20 possessions on the forward line. So I think Jack Darling's the one out of those. Jared Blair was the third one, I think.
Yep.
Is probably a bit more on the fringe. I think he'll play a bit this year. But when those injured players come back, so we're talking Wells, we're talking DeGoey, we're talking Langdon, he might get forced out of the 22. Jack Darling, I think, is clearly in, and great fall for JJK.
I said Blair, but I think he's, yeah. You wouldn't want any of them, really, would you?
No.
No.
Only for
so first option's always the right option, which is none of the above.
There you go.
And this one from old mate OTLS Archie. He asks, thoughts on having a spectators mode in draft leagues, which allows you, which allows people to just sit there and watch how the draft unfolds while interacting with the drafters and having a chat about picks?
I think it's pretty dangerous.
I like the idea.
I like it.
You might need some swear filters on that.
Oh, definitely. There's some big swear filters on that.
It would be good if the commissioner had the right to tick people off or remove them.
Yeah, it'd have to all be monitored, and even maybe a moderator sitting outside of the draft to keep an eye on it.
Well, I mean, you can clearly be sitting there going, oh, you should be taking so-and-so, you should be taking so-and-so coming up. And that's, I don't like that, to be honest.
And to be quite honest, the best draft to actually have is when you have your mates in your room, a computer, a few beers, like you guys had on Saturday night. That's exactly the best way to draft. And the reality of whether you want actually people listening in, watching in with your mates is probably questionable.
I don't mind it.
I love it in the live room, man. I mean,
you can't get
when Jagger O'Meara goes in the fourth round and the whole room explodes with laughter and jaws hit the floor and shatter.
And then the high-fiving when selecting Toby Nankervis as a forward.
You can't beat it.
No, it's great. Our next question comes from at Cohen Shane. What's your honest opinion on Took Miller? Is he good enough as an F2 in AFL fantasy this year?
Well, it's a good question. I'm a little bit worried about Gold Coast because we were really worried during the off-season who's going to play in the midfield with him. I'm actually really worried with the same question, but in a different way. They've got too many. So who's going to actually get the real time? Because Gary's now coming out saying, no, I'm not going to be forward. I'm going to be in the mids.
Mm. And then you've got Hall, Barlow, Swallow.
Lyons.
We probably won't see Riscatelli this year.
Hanley. Swallow sucks. I hate David Swallow.
Ooh.
You know why people like David Swallow? Because everyone had him that salary cap year when he was a defender.
And how good was it?
It was great. How was he the next year?
Stunk. Played 5 games or something, didn't he?
Yeah, just forget it.
He's an interesting one, but there was... I don't know what format it was, but they had... When Took Miller was playing with Gary Ablett...
33 points worse.
33 points worse, so just something to be mindful. So if you've got Took Miller, good luck to you, but as an F2...
Well, I mean, look, if
it's possible.
I think he's okay as an F2, but if you're not feeling comfortable, just trade him. Try trade him out before he plays a game and sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
If that's your contention.
And his semi breakout, we've got to remember, was when all the midfielders were out.
Yeah,
yeah.
So how they all fit in there and how much time they get, they all might be part of rotations because every good club has got 8 or 9 that rotate through the midfield. But it's actually who's gets that 50-60% game time actually in the midfield are the ones that rack it up.
Yeah, I can understand his concerns.
Yeah.
But
hey, we'll see what happens this weekend.
It's just so hard to predict what coaches are going to do. I mean, we can
speculate all we like.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't mean it's going to be.
No, that's right. Our last question for the day is from our favourite reviewer. That's at Crippled Brewer.
Most accurate as well.
He asked, how badly is my team going to be in the Draft Doctors Keeper League this year?
Now, Mad Monday Midgets is his team. Is that correct?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
I can't remember, no.
Oh, yeah, it is. No, it is, sorry. It is.
It is. Yes. So he's picked Luke Parker as his number one pick at pick 8. And if we quickly go and look at his team, there is some real issues. My comments for his team was thin on depth in every line.
Scathing.
Very scathing. So, and he wants to trade me for Clayton Oliver for...
Well, it's the time to thin your...
No, sorry, that's Bearded Clamps, not Cripple Brewer, sorry.
You don't know what's going on.
Can I actually say that his most interesting pick of the night, and he's followed Jono's hype on Zach Tui and picked him at 89, but his most interesting pick was at 128. So round 11, he's picked Nick Natanui.
Interesting.
Yeah, that feels a bit early for me.
I would have seen round 20-ish onwards.
I'd say 16.
16?
It's a 12-man league.
That's true.
But mind you, two picks later, Steve, you did pick up Jordan Ngoi.
Hey! he's at least he's got some anger in him.
He's
got the angries.
Yeah, but he won't be on the grog when he's playing football. Well, maybe he could be. This is Collingwood.
Anyway, whatever. Sure, people don't want to hear about my goddamn fantasy team.
No. That wraps up the questions for this week. But Keeper, Statesman, I believe you're going to do just a quick rundown on the Keeper League draft we had on Sunday afternoon night.
Yes, we were going to record the draft, and we started going through that process. But once Devin Smith went at number 27, let's face it, I spat the dummy, and there was some damage to my computer, gentlemen. So I do apologise to the listeners there. We will recover, but I have rejected the trade to Devin Smith, so maybe I shouldn't have spat the dummy so much. Still salty, hashtag. So I'll just do a quick review of the team, Steve. Too many old boys, injury risks, and players that will miss games, and thin in the midfield.
Sounds like a premiership to me.
Ben was thin on every line. We just talked about that. Nick Natanui was certainly a questionable pick at 128. Brad lacks captain options, low depth in midfield, and that's sort of what you get when you pick a ruckman at your first pick, and it's not until close to pick number 20 that you actually get to pick your first midfielder. So the captain option's a little bit low for Brad. Paul, no defence, low depth, no rucks. Of course, I was going to go harsh on you because you picked Devin Smith. Touch my lunch meat. Jeremy, a.k.a. Lady Bugs, got an old defence, so it looked like he drafted the defence old. And I remember actually that looking at the keeper, the young gun defenders, which let's face, there's not a lot. There's Rory Laird, there's Sam Doherty, there's KK, there's the magnificent Brody Smith, which you blokes keep on writing off.
He's about 28 though, he's not that young.
But he's gone through his selections and he's got the James Kelly, he's got the Jared McVeigh, which are fantastic names, but I don't think they're going to play a lot of footy and their output's actually going to drop. So the defence has some question marks and so do the forwards. Jonathan, great mids. Neil is your leader. Suspect forward and defence. Suspect.
Room for improvement, I'd like to think.
Paddy Whack, now he was helped that he had the number one pick, so Dangerfield, but his whole squad has actually got good balance, so well drafted to Paddy Whack. Power Bulls, Nathan, needs to change bench, but a good balanced squad, and his bench is really worrying. It's the type of Daniel Wells. What you've got Daniel Wells in a Keeper League for, I'm a little bit unsure. Kryptonite, above average, but too many risky players, including people like Gary Ablett. Uzbekis, need to work on forward line, but good squad. Bangers and Mash, middle of the road, midfield, but balanced squad. Lunch meat is greater than pizza. A fantastic drafting effort. We need to get that guy on the show and probably interview him on a weekly basis because he's got great insights. A top four outside my list, of course. because I shouldn't rave on about how good my squad is, should all make the finals this year. So I'm quite happy for this to be recorded and we can bring this out on the You Suck show. But seeing I've joined you now, it's probably less You Suck. It should be You Champion the Others You Suck. Paddy Whack, Uzbekis, Banger Amash and Kryptonite, they're the four that I can guarantee from the drafting, as long as they don't destroy it through their trades, will make the finals first year in the Keeper League.
Like it. Good analysis.
Wait, was I making the finals?
No. You and I are both not making finals.
No, you can make finals. I'm just saying those four are guaranteed. So there's
I remember how well your Women's League predictions went.
Actually, Brisbane in the grand final.
How was Freo?
Making comments, I did talk about the wonderful Brittany Gibson, great Tasmanian, and she is nominated as one of the 8 most courageous player for the AFLW for the Players Association Award. So there was one player nominated from each club, and the wonderful Tasmanian Brittany Gibson was nominated. So I gave you the tip that she was going to be one of the best players, and Brisbane will make the finals, and they're in the grand final.
They have made the finals. They're in the grand final.
I remember betting on Fremantle, those statesmen.
Yeah, and Western Bulldogs. They were fighting it on the weekend for the wooden spoon.
I remember how bad Melbourne were going to be too.
Yeah, just missed out on the granny.
Yeah, you're right. That was a call. And ironically, we were talking that straight after the Brisbane list, and I said I wasn't surprised. I thought their list was a little bit average. But, yep, they did very well.
About your man Monty's.
Yeah. Have you seen the rings they got? They look pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like the Supercoach rings you can buy.
Jono, speaking of the Women's League,
yeah,
it's leading us into something we haven't done for a while.
I don't think I know where this is going.
Strempling.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't strempled anyone for a while. It's bringing it out.
And for our new listeners, it was something we just did for a bit of fun. Each show, just someone... Oh, Steve, this was your baby, so I'll let you take over on this one.
Yeah, John, each week we were let down by someone or something happened where we just absolutely had to bake someone. And we always talk about the Shane Strample incident where he got beat up by his own team. So this is the people...
Oh, yes.
So someone is getting strampled, and this is everyone... Everyone who was getting stuck in to the greenkeeper at the Gabba. Very salty, Jono. Yeah, very, yeah. Very salty. Now,
hey, salty's my thing.
Pissed off. The AFL have absolutely thrown this bloke under the bus.
Yep.
They don't know what they're doing. They had no idea where to host this grand final. They know there's a concert on. He said it's unsafe. And people are saying, oh, all he has to do is mow grass. I'm a greenkeeper, people. Been a greenkeeper for a long time. It is not just mowing grass. It is plumbing. It is chemistry.
Yep.
It is science. It is...
irrigation, everything.
Yeah, absolutely. It is being a machinery worker.
Yep.
And to be the head curator of the Gabba, you have to be a little bit more advanced in your career than I am. So yeah. If he says it's unsafe,
take his word for it, people. And just because we've got a cricket match coming up in 6 months' time.
And the AFL got form with this. They don't like being let down. Remember Etihad, when they first built Etihad?
The wrong way, yeah.
Yeah. So I got taught by the head of the AGCA, who they brought in and said, how do we grow this grass? And he said, put in heat lamps. And they said, too expensive. So they had turf flying everywhere.
Mm.
And people said it was unsafe to play on. So they had to eventually shift back and get the heat lamps. Now you've got a guy saying it's unsafe before the event. And people are saying, not good enough. What if someone did their knee?
Yeah.
He's looking out for people. If they have a bloody concert, you can't just go lay sod and expect it to grow in a week.
No.
And that's in Brisbane, in the hottest conditions, the best growing conditions in Australia. Well, it takes a little bit longer than that.
It's actually been pouring up there as well, so it makes it even harder.
So if he says it's unsafe, it's unsafe. Get your head together, AFL.
And I believe there is a facility in Brisbane called the Brisbane Entertainment Centre. Why can't they have the concert there?
I feel sorry for the Brisbane Lions fans. I really do. Mm. You were promised the match, and...
And they earned the match.
And they earned the match, and I understand why they're disappointed. But don't lay into the greenkeeper. Lay into the AFL. Lay into the management of the Gabba.
I did like Josh Walker's tweet.
That was great.
Super, super excited for the hashtag Ashes test. Gabba looking spick.
Well, here's another meathead. Jamie Charman. Can't say all I have to do is mow grass. Mate, all you got to do is run your head into a brick wall. The head of the Gabba has got a little bit more education than you, my friend. And he doesn't just mow grass. In fact, they have GPS on their mowers at the Gabba. People don't mow the grass.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, and I seriously doubt the head curator is actually out there on a mower.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No.
That's the apprentice.
So get strampled.
And we'll be bringing a strampling each week from now on coming into the season.
Jesus, I can't do that rant every week. Get fired up, Jono.
Oh, we can share it around. That's fine. But that wraps up the show for this week. One more thing from the statesman before we wrap up.
Yeah, moral of the story is don't give greenkeepers a microphone.
Oh. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or at TheStatesman33. Check us out on Facebook. Also, check out the website. We are thedraftdoctors.com.au. Make sure you check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And please, leave us a review.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.